Hi, welcome. Thanks for joining us. We are live. Perhaps you're listening right now, live with us on LinkedIn, on YouTube, on Instagram, even. Or perhaps you're joining the replay, which is on one of your favorite podcast platforms. And we're so pleased you're here. However, you're with us, we're really pleased that you're with us. I have my co-host Pascal with me. You okay, Pascal?
I'm very good. Thank you very much. And I've had a look at the show notes. This is actually a very special one, particularly when we get to website stories. But let's move on, if you don't mind, with more introduction from you. So you've been busy. It's been a while, people. I know. And thank you very much for your patience. But we managed to find some time in the diary to get together.
Absolutely. This is the 90 Day Website Mastery Podcast, the perfect companion to our 90 Day Website Mastery Program and our recently published book, Web Proud. It's our 45th episode. We're excited to bring you even more valuable insights and practical advice to help you enhance your website performance. Join us whilst we explore strategies to make your website work harder for you, reigniting your pride in your online presence. We have four segments, as always. We have the You Ask, We Answer, where someone has submitted a question from our community that we will answer for you. We've got website stories. We have the website engine room. And of course, we always finish with a website call to action, giving you one change or adjustment that you could be making to your website right now to start making you feel web proud. Listen, let's get right into things. If I had my bumper ready, which I don't, it's always a bit of fun doing things live, is it not, Pascal?
Well, we've had a long break as well, so all is forgiven.
And we were also talking about how the likes of StreamYard and these platforms do like to change things every time that you log in. It sort of things move, which doesn't help when you're wanting to do live shows. It's fascinating. Anyway, let's move on to our first segment, which is You Ask, We Answer.
I have to tell you, I wish we had a camera looking at you with your mouse furiously going through the screen a moment ago, but you found the bumper for You Ask, We Answer. And as this is where I come from, this is a good one. Here we go. I keep hearing about storytelling, and I often wonder what it really means and how storytelling might apply to my website. What say you, Johnny Ross?
Well, a brilliant question. I mean, we've talked about storytelling a lot. We talk about it. We have a whole section in our book, Web Proud. You can get it on Amazon. But it's a brilliant question. So thanks for the listener that sent this in. It's a topic that often is thrown around in marketing circles, but not always broken down in a way that actually helps busy website managers. I think we can fix that. And storytelling isn't just for authors or filmmakers or big brands with glossy campaigns. It's a human communication tool. We all engage with stories. It's how we connect. It's how we remember. It's how we care. And so it's about how you apply it to your website. So instead of sort of how can we make your website resonate emotionally, not just functionally? Because look, most websites today say, here's who we are, here's what we do. But a storytelling website says, here's what you need. Here's how we understand your challenge, and here's the path to a better outcome with our help. So let's break it down. There's something called Story Brand Framework, and that's from Donald Miller, a great book. I'd highly recommend it. And he sort of has seven steps. So the first step is your visitor is the hero, not your business, your visitor. Your website should immediately speak to their needs, their frustrations, their goals. Number two is they have a problem. So maybe their current supplier is letting them down. Maybe their e-commerce platform is slow and clunky. Maybe they're overwhelmed. You need to name that problem early on the page. Step three is you are the guide. You've been there. You understand. You have a plan to help. That's where trust starts to build. And number four, give them a plan and a call to action. So simple, clear steps, not 15 drop-downs or a maze of content. Just something simple. Schedule a call, get a custom plan. And for us, it would be launch a website you're proud of. Number five, show them the happy ending. Help them picture what life looks like after they work with you. Faster sales, better brand confidence, more leads, real transformation. And here's the best part. You don't need to be a copywriter to do this. You just need to start asking yourself, why did we create this service or product? What did our best customers thank us for? What pain do we help remove? And then turn those answers into the emotional thread of your website. Sprinkle in real customer stories. Use headings that speak directly to outcomes. Don't just say, we offer secure hosting. Say, sleep better knowing your website is always up. A storytelling website guides visitors through a journey. It gives them clarity, gives them confidence, and more of all, it makes them care. So to every website manager listening, every business owner, you don't need a rebrand or a full rebuild to start doing this. You just need to shift from explaining what you do to telling a story your visitor wants to be proud of. So for me, Pascal, that is the power of storytelling.
Oh, that's superb. You know, I can never tire of listening, watching, and reading about storytelling. As you know, massive fan of filmmaking and film marketing. Interesting, last week I was presenting about storytelling, and I wrote about it on LinkedIn yesterday, and literally moments later, this question arrived, which is really quite interesting. And for me, storytelling is actually made up of two words, story and telling, and I think that could be very, very helpful. So as you heard a moment ago, now, story is about actually the structure of what you've observed, why it is happening, and what people are trying to do to make, you know, that important change. And then the telling is literally the format that you've gone with, you know, the words, the images, the videos, the sounds that you've chosen to kind of, be the vehicle for what you do. And I think, therefore, I have some sympathy for, of course, authors and filmmakers and documentary makers and so on that feel that the marketing and sales community has hijacked the term storytelling. But I think generally that's because we were trying, you and I, to get people to move away from essentially stating facts about their businesses and about their accomplishments and so on. And I think once you bring, as you said, you know, the visitor, your prospective customer, as the hero of the journey. So as a reminder for everybody, in storytelling kind of parlance, the hero is the individual or group of individuals that will change the most across the arc of the story. So as you mentioned a moment ago, Johnny, you're not going to change. Well, you will improve as a supplier, but you know this stuff already. The transformation is not yours, it's that of your customers and that of your website visitors. So if you can actually, you know, as you heard a moment ago from Johnny, reset the story or at least supplement it. You know, I don't mind you sharing facts, Johnny, but I want you to supplement it with relatable anecdotes and facts. Think about your case studies, think about your FAQs, think about your blog, and particularly this is where you can really go for it, whereby it's something that I can relate to. I'll just close really on this LinkedIn post, because when I was teaching the different storytelling hooks, there are about seven, oddly, very much like, with Story Brand, you know, the question that you want to be seen to be answering through your website and other marketing activity, including PR presentation, is as follows. How are customers I can relate to coping with a change to their world? And the whole website is there to say, you know, this has happened. This has caused either aspirations, which is a positive side, or anxiety, the more a negative side. And this is what customers like you have done about it. And we were there to guide them through. So I'm a massive fan of the subject. I'm a massive fan of the term. But I think the question is fair, because people are using the term, you know, without necessarily supplementing with good explanation. And I think what we've done in the space of 7 minutes is pretty stunning, actually.
it's an actionable plan. It's got people thinking. And the bottom line is people engage with a story. It's as simple as that. You know, instead of just saying, you know, these are our products, these are our services, and we're brilliant, people turn off with that, do they not? And they need to hear you tell the story, how it's changed things, make them the hero, make it all about them. And that is how to grow. Should we move to our next segment, website stories?
Now, for this segment of the show, normally John and I choose an article, a podcast, an infographic, and we review it for you to look for lessons and reactions, but I've changed it. I could, because it was my turn to write the show notes this week. And quite simply, some of you will have seen Johnny showing off on LinkedIn that he was at the London Tech Week Expo for I think a day, not for the entire week. I couldn't be there. I was too busy working. And I'm very jealous. So I'm going to ask Johnny basically to tell us more about where it went, because I know it's London, but where in London? And I mean, I take it was a combination of exhibitions and talks and literally, yeah. What did you learn? What can you share with us?
Yeah, it was your sort of typical exhibition with lots of stands and exhibitors, but tons and tons of talks and lots of different stages. And it, you could feel a real buzz in the room. There was a lot of people. There was a lot of, it felt like a lot of investors in there as well. There was some it felt like some really big, real conversations going on. And, you know, I joked online that in every sentence I heard the word AI, and I really wasn't exaggerating. It's you know, it's no more of a bolt-on. It's AI has to be part of your business. I guess for me, I came up with, I did a quick post online, you may have seen it, my five takeaways. So is it worth me mentioning the sort of five things that I got from London Tech Week, and also how I think potentially people listening, you know, SMEs can apply this to their own businesses. So the big thing was, like I said, AI is the sort of the air we breathe now. It's not just a little part. It has to be part of the entire business. I really did in every sentence hear the word AI. So this is about AI tools helping you draft content, helping whether that be, you know, email content or blog posts or product descriptions, but smarter customer support. So AI chatbots that actually understand questions and escalate when they need to. Perhaps even real-time web analytics summaries. So, you know, perhaps a tool that's able to come to your inbox that says, you know, traffic's dropped on Wednesday. It's because you had a broken link in your ad campaign, for example. So having these little things that can make quite big differences in your business and sort of be working behind the scenes to elevate. So it's, you don't need to go full sci-fi with any of this. It's about just trying tools. Like we've always said in you know, pretty much every podcast for the last however long, here's a bunch of tools, try them, test them, see if things can take some of the pressure off your day to day, but also can elevate what you're doing. So I think AI has to be sort of embedded in the entire business. Number two was sustainability. So it's not just a nice to have. There was a sort of a big surprise in a nice way. Green tech and climate focused startups weren't hidden in the corner. They were huge. They had a whole stage to themselves. The seats were packed every time there was a talk on the green stage. I'd say more than any, and I'd say, you know, audiences were really leaning into it. And for me, there was a lot of talk about investment as well. But it's about, you know, this. What can you get across? People are looking to support businesses that have that sustainability story. So, you know, are your products locally made? Or do you offset carbon through perhaps how you deliver things, or you know, what renewable energy are you using? And this is about how can you tell that story? So whether that be on your homepage, whether it be in your about page, going back to the storytelling we had earlier, you need to really get your story across. So sustainability was a big ticket item. The third thing was employing. So as a standard on a web, on a job advert, you'd say, you know, in the olden days, you'd say you must have Microsoft Word experience. You must have Microsoft Excel. You must be able to use Outlook. This now is about AI fluency. This is about people that can know how to write a prompt, people that know how to use tools, people that are happy to experiment, people that are happy to try things. Maybe people are curious about AI. I think AI needs to be embedded across the entire business. So whether that be admin teams using it to clean up spreadsheets or summarize notes, or content teams to brainstorm, or sales reps to polish proposals. It's about, you know, it's got to be embedded in the entire business. So when you're looking to recruit, I think finding people that actually have fluency in AI is really important. Number four was about partnerships. So we've said this for a long time, finding other businesses that serve your audience as well. So whether that be, you know, mortgage brokers working with estate agents, wedding photographers working with florists, people that are serving similar audiences, you know, you have a stronger voice together. It's not just about sharing offers or referrals. This is about sharing content, cross promotions, working together, perhaps even putting an offer out that actually sells both of your services at the same time. So partnerships was a big thing. And then lastly, what was really fascinating is the number of enterprise businesses there adopting AI. And that sort of says to me that if people listening right now, perhaps smaller or medium businesses that perhaps haven't adopted it as much, if we're seeing enterprise adopt it, that's a really strong message. We have to start going further forward. And the great thing is, people listening, you're in a position to be able to do that because you can move faster than enterprise. And the big thing for me was hearing Barclays' story. Barclays, very massive organization, the bank, they're rolling out AI tools to 100,000 employees. So think about that. That's huge scale. That's not a pilot program. That's full transformation. So it's about, there's an opportunity here and you need to be ahead of the curve, testing and trying. And you can move a lot faster than an enterprise because you can, you know, sort of try something this week, learn next week, and implement next month. Whereas enterprise, it takes a lot longer to do those things. But if enterprise are doing it, SMEs should absolutely be doing it. So it was interesting. It was London Tech Week, may as well have been called sort of AI partnerships. And
absolutely. So thank you very much. Because by the way, everybody, you must realize that I almost didn't put you on the spot because all I did was to write on the show notes. Johnny recently went to the London Tech Week. Pascal wants to find out more about it, exclamation mark. And then that was it, you know, and over to you. So thank you for taking the time to, you know, jot down some notes and kind of, it's not easy sometimes, you know, to spend an entire day at an event and kind of break it down to a few takeaways. I mean, very, very quickly, you know, I think you're right about the adoption is going to be faster than usual. And for our viewers and listeners, particularly within the context of websites, you know, we're asking you to consider some very, very finite and very controlled AI pilot projects, you know, not changing the entire organization. So you can start, you know, where it matters the most, marketing, sales, customer service, where you're going to get productivity gains, but also innovation. It's really important. But the thing about the staff, I mean, I think all of us, you know, will either have children or will have, you know, nephews and nieces who are about to, you know, maybe finish their degrees and very, very soon and go to work. And I think if we can convey the message to them, because sometimes education will let them down in terms of their preparedness to the world of work, you know, because what they have to do for their studies doesn't necessarily make them use Microsoft Office, they don't use Canva, they don't know about blogging, they don't know about LinkedIn, the list goes on and on. And if in addition to which they don't know about AI, it could be the simpler version of Copilot, you know, within Microsoft or Gemini within Workspace. If you don't know that, then your contribution is much reduced. If you've taken the trouble, you know, as a professional to sit down with your, you know, children or your family members and say, hey, let me show you a couple of things here that you might find interesting. And I think particularly young people are going to be so good once they take the time in crafting agents, which is the evolution of using the assistants. So that's pretty exciting, you know, to have those. And what we can do as businesses is actually be in touch with local colleges and universities and give those young people a project to do over the summer, bear in mind the time of recording this this episode, you know. So that's very, very important. Did you feel very quickly that there is, however, you know, AI and there's automation and then there's a very clever software? And do you think that sometime the acronym AI is used too broadly and we need to be sure that it's really artificial intelligence?
Oh, for sure. Yeah. I mean, we're labeling everything AI at the moment, aren't we? And you're right. That's you've got to understand that is a really broad term. And it's to some extent, it's just a way of thinking. It's a way of adopting. And it's about, you know, all the multitude of different tools that you can use that do different things using ultimately a bit of code behind the scenes. So yeah, it's this isn't robots, this isn't, as I said, it's not sci-fi. It's just making things more effective, more productive, and taking up the level of value that you can add to your customers.
Super. And listen, everyone, thank you again for allowing us a departure from the usual website stories. Let us know if you do enjoy those kind of conference recaps and events reviews. We'll do them more and more as you and I go and travel. And hopefully next year, perhaps you and I will be together at London Tech Week.
Absolutely. We'll move to our next segment, which is the Website Engine Room.
Now, in this segment of the show, we recommend one app, one software solution that can make life easier as a website manager or content creator. Johnny, what is your selection?
So there's loads of video editing tools out there. And going back to some of the themes that we've been talking about today, this is about you finding the right tools for you. It's about testing. It's about trying. So this one's called Opus.pro. It's a video editing tool. It's an AI-based video editing tool for sort of professional content creation, offering tools that simplify editing workflows whilst maintaining those sort of cinematic results. You could, for example, take a 10-minute or a 20-minute video, and it will very quickly and easily, just with a click, output some very short videos that you can then repurpose on social, that you can very easily brand and add subtitles. Now, there's lots of tools that do things like this. But for me, it's about, you need to try them, you need to test them, you need to experiment with them. And the only tool that's the right tool is the one that you prefer and works for you and is easy to use and gives you the output that you want. So that's why I am a big advocate of try different tools. And this episode, Opus.pro is the one that I suggest you have a go to do some video editing.
Super. I mean, what I do on my phone, because usually, is this, forgive me, laptop or mobile phone or a bit of both maybe?
So this is a desktop website. So it's, okay. Yeah, they may have an app version, but I'm talking about using the desktop web app mm-hmm. version. Yeah.
No, for sure. I mean, on my laptop, I've got maybe 2-3 different kind of solutions. On my mobile phone, I've got a folder with different apps. I must have about 10. I've got my favorites, I go back to Quick, whatever, but to know what's possible. And sometimes what I like about those platforms are particularly the templates, which can give you a new zest of life into your video creation or give you some ideas that was very forward. And on the subject of ideas, my selection actually is a return of Notebook LM by Google. And I know that it's been mentioned before, but they've updated it. And it's now becoming one of my favorites for the workshop that I run with regard to websites. So if you don't know about Notebook LM, understand that this is essentially like a work environment. So think ChatGPT, but just for that one conversation, that one project. So what you can do in the context of this podcast is literally copy and paste your website address. You can upload some documentation about your business and so on. And then you can do a number of things. So what's been introduced recently is a mind map. And to be able to actually translate your website into a mind map can be super helpful to see the way it is, what's perhaps missing, and so on and so forth. But what you can do by clicking on the different branches and segments of the mind map, then you can have deep dive conversation about that particular part of the website with your assistant, which is essentially Gemini. Where I am really impressed now are the audio summaries have become so much better. Not only can they be in different languages, which can be interesting if you are an exporter, but you can now very much direct the conversation by writing a brief to essentially the podcast host. As some of you will know, you can also dictate the length. It could be short, it could be default, or it can be long. And what I recommend people do in my workshop is you can have more than one audio summary, so you can restart as long as you download the copy. So you can write a brief saying, imagine that you're a first-time visitor and you're impressed with my website, what would you say? Second audio summary, imagine you're a first-time visitor, you're not very happy with my website, what would you say? So you can kind of start to do some mystery shopping, but you can also ask the podcast host, what would you do to improve the impact of my blog? Here's a list of all the things that Johnny and Pascal have been saying. Can you please translate this into an action plan so you can really make it work for you as a proper kind of team? And I would recommend as well, because it is becoming more and more important now with audio summaries, to have one of the best FAQ section in your sector, to use the FAQ section of Notebook LM. That's going to be very helpful. So literally for my workshops now, for all we try all the other apps, Johnny, Notebook LM is now becoming one of my favorites.
Yeah, I absolutely love it. It's brilliant. And layering on what Pascal's just been saying, highly recommend you try it. Upload a document, put your website address in there, upload one of your videos and see what it outputs. It's mental. And the audio, as Pascal's already said, the audio output is brilliant. And the fact that you can now shape it is very clever indeed. Yeah, I think that's allowed to be a return because it had a huge, I mean, it was brilliant anyway, but it's had a huge step up. So
yeah,
well done to you. That ends Website Engine Room. Let's move to the website call to action.
Now, this is about the one change or one adjustment that's going to make things working much harder for your website. Johnny, what is your recommendation?
So with all this talk about AI and the reality is that Google search is absolutely changing. There will be a change in how people get to your website and whether they get to your website. So we need to make sure that AI really understands your content and really understands your website. There is an experimental text file, bit of code that you can create that talks to the AI bots, the likes of ChatGPT, Gemini, Perplexity, etc., Meta, etc. So a bit like a robots.txt file, a bit like a sitemap, there's something new called an LLMS.txt file. And what this is it's a proposed standard that helps AI models better understand and interact with your website's content. So it's not the same as a robots.txt or a sitemap.xml. It's specifically designed to enhance AI interactions by providing structured content overviews and navigation paths. It's basically your sort of signpost to AI, your signpost to say, this is this particular content. This is a summary of this particular page. These are the sort of the key bits of information that we would love AI to understand and use. So this episode, my one change or adjustment that you should be doing to your website right now is to add an llms.txt file. There'll be more in the show notes. Do a bit of Googling. You'll find out a bit more about it. But that is how to future-proof and be seen in AI.
Superb. And I'm guessing that the LLMS stands for Large Language Model Systems, maybe all models. That is just a stunner. Thank you so much, Johnny. So for me, it's actually born out of a recent interaction with a client where they were showing me their blog section, asking for advice and reaction. And all the blog entries, articles, posts, whatever you want to call them, had a very prominent date, publication date. And at first I thought it was quite distracting because he was fighting for attention against the title and the summary. But also when I challenged the business owner, the content wasn't like a news item where the date was significant. It was just, you could argue, evergreen content. And it so happens that by default, the date was featured. So my call to action really is to really challenge, the current status quo. Should the dates be in or out? So I would suggest consider removing them if particularly this is evergreen content or a thought piece that is not age. And actually, on that very point, I would actually go back through maybe, the publications from maybe 6 months, 12 months, 18 months ago, make the list of what those articles are, maybe check, interest from your audience, because it may be that they could do with a refresh and a reset and republish with other date, and suddenly you've increased the value of the interaction on your website without creating too much work for yourself.
Love it. Very clever. Evergreen is absolutely the way forward. And the whole date thing, that can put off AI seeing how outdated a piece of content is. So I think it's a really, really, really valid point, especially with this episode around AI storytelling and sustainability. What an episode. We've told you how to tell your story, to make your customer the hero, and to really focus on how you're going to help them achieve what they're trying to achieve. That's the most important thing. So in all of your content, it's about storytelling. That's how to engage. We've talked about the power of AI and how you need to really start adopting it in as many places of the business as possible, not just for the sake of it and not to go sci-fi, but to actually make your business better, make your business grow, and to give a better experience. Brilliant episode, Pascal. Great tools as well.
Yeah, and I'm surprised people allow us to continue. It's number 45, this is all your fault. You keep asking questions. And this is, as you know, a favorite subject, not website, but actually creating an amazing experience for your website visitors.
Absolutely. And please do keep asking questions. Please let us know what you think. Like, follow the show. Of course, subscribe if this is helpful. And more importantly, leave us a review. That gives a huge trust signal to the likes of ChatGPT and Perplexity to recommend us to other people. So get leaving a review. Listen, that's a wrap for episode 45 of the 90 Day Website Mastery Podcast, your audio companion to the 90 Day Website Mastery Program. For more information, visit 90daymarketingmastery.com, where you can book a discovery call with either myself or Pascal. Of course, you can head over to Amazon and buy our latest book, which is Web Proud. You'll find it. But it's goodbye for now. We'll leave you with a fun video, an audio montage to enjoy whilst you're reviewing your show notes. Thanks for joining us. We'll see you again soon. Take care. Thanks very